And welcome again to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Giannis Janaeus, Nina Bass, and also Michael Connor. In this episode, we will discuss the 2-1 dramatic win performed yesterday at Craven Cottage. A late winner by Brian Ruiz gives Fulham all 3 points. I look forward to talking to my co-host all about this match. We'll be going through our opening thoughts on the match, the key moments. We'll also go through stat attack, and as you can imagine, we will be rating all the players, the Fulham manager, Redding, and yes, of course, the ref. We have to rate the ref in this match. Looks like one of my co-hosts is on the line, so I'm going to bring him on. Mr. O'Connor, welcome back to Cottage Talk Extra Time.
Hey, thank you so much, Russ. How you been?
I am been well. How have you been, Mike?
Doing well. Just keeping warm and, just happy to see a Fulham victory yesterday.
You know what? Well, first of all, I wish I could have seen a Fulham victory, but we listened to it. That's a little
we sure did.
That's a little hint, you know. But
that's a good
but
point.
Again, it's nice to be able to listen to a huge Fulham victory. And for all the fans that were at Craven Cottage, congratulations to all of you because you guys got to see it, and it was a very big victory, Mike.
It really, really was. It was a great way to bounce back from the recent league defeats we've had, and it's a great way to show that we didn't just let the FA Cup game against Wolves kind of go under the radar. We used it as a building block.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you on that. And, it's funny because now we have a big match coming up on Wednesday. Listen, they're coming fast because we got Wednesday with Nottingham Forest coming to Craven Cottage. We have that, and then we follow that up with Sunderland. So, again, there's a lot going on. But I'm going to get right back to you because it looks like Giannis is on the line, so I'm going to bring him on. Giannis, how are you doing in Canada today, my friend?
Hello!
How are you doing, Giannis?
I'm lovely, and it's nice to be able to silence all the Brian Ruiz critics out there.
I think we'll be talking a little bit about Brian Ruiz today. I have a feeling his name's going to come up a few times.
Oh, yes.
Oh boy! I look forward to going through this with you, and hopefully Nina will be joining us shortly because again with Skype it can take a few minutes to get in. So while we wait for Nina, let's get going. And Mike, I'll start with you. Just share with me your opening thoughts about what happened yesterday at Craven Cottage.
Well, obviously listening from it, I really knew that this had to be a match where we kind of showed some grit and some determination to really show that we mean business again, because the loss to Brighton kind of started a rot a little bit, and then you had Cardiff, and then we drew against Wolves at home, and we really needed to show some force that, we're not just going to keep letting Craven Cottage be a place where people can come and just really optimistically expect a win. So when I saw the lineup and all that, I was really, really pleased. I'm still not the biggest fan of Fofana, but, I saw the lineup and I was pleased with it. And I just overall, just the beginning overall thoughts on the match was that it was a match that, although it wasn't pretty at times, it showed a really strong backbone. And I think the team did fantastically well to get another injury time winner.
Well, listen, I agree with all that. Sometimes you need ugly wins. They all count the same. And this was not a pretty win. It was an ugly win. But I'll take the 3 points any way that you can get it. And, and I look forward to your thoughts as we go through talking about this match. And, Giannis, I'll go to you. I just want to get your opening thoughts about what happened yesterday at Craven Cottage.
Well, I was having a good – I think my laughter started in the first few minutes when I think – Gentleman Jim referred to the referee as Tubby. And then I knew we were going to have a little bit of a problem because he couldn't keep up with play. It sounded like I'm not usually one that's going to criticize the refereeing, but it sounds like the refereeing was subpar. And we did well to take the lead. And then, of course, it had to be Pogrebniak was going to score the equalizer. How Fulhamish is that going to be?
Yeah.
But to get the winner the way we did, and it was a fabulous setup. Was excellent. That's 3 points. We've got Forest coming up on Wednesday. And that's a game we can look forward to. And then we've got Sunderland in the Cup next Saturday. So that's two wins in 4 days. Good character wins. And now let's see what's going to happen. Because, of course, the transfer deadline, you know, is moving along. And Kit did say on Friday that they're in negotiation with two players. So I'm intrigued to see who they may be. And things are looking bright at the moment.
Yes, they are, Giannis. And it's funny because we forget a little bit about the transfer window, you know, when the matches are coming fairly quick. But there's, you know, again, there's some stuff going on. You know, again, hopefully there will be some players coming in soon. And when we have some news, we will certainly be breaking that on Cottage Talk. All right, Giannis, let me go right back to you. Let's talk about the starting 11. I want to get your thoughts on Kit's lineup, what he chose to start the match with.
I was okay with it. I'm going to be honest. I'm still annoyed about the LVC injury. And you and I talked about this. I mean, you know, he's got to be eating crow pie right now because, you know, he's come back from a hamstring injury. He's brought him back too early. I questioned it. I said it's the wrong move. He's still not going to. I'm not sure he's going to be available for Sunderland. The only question mark for me was going to be whether Ruiz was going to start, and he didn't, and that's fine. But the lineup was fairly straightforward. The bench looked fairly attacking. It was a rather different lineup to the one that lost 3-0 down there earlier in the season. But I thought it was enough that it was going to cause problems. I was delighted to see that Kaká started as well, because. He is a good player, and he lost a lot of confidence under Yol, and he's always capable of doing something a little special. So it was a good lineup. It was a solid lineup. It was one that I thought could at least get a point against Reading.
Okay. Good stuff there, Giannis. Mike, over to you. What were your thoughts about the starting 11?
Starting with the starting 11 here, obviously, Hutchinson and Bodrov, I think they are two most solid center backs. I think Byrne has quite rightly not so much lost his place, but he has been put to the side for now because Hutchinson offers more physicality and makes up for the lack in height. Bodrov, you can't remove. He's definitely the most unspoken hero of the team this year so far and probably McGath's best signing he's brought to us by a long shot. I really don't have any issue with the starting 11, and I was really excited to see Kaká Nikolić back starting his first game for us again. And Ryan Tunnicliffe was playing more in the center of the park role, which I really think is where he thrives, and that's where he played at Man United for so long in that role rather than out wide. At least to the best of my knowledge, that's where he was played. So I think if we give him enough time and settle him down there, Ryan Tunnicliffe and Alexander Kaká Nikolić with their experience, we very much needed cover and skill and experience in the midfield for us. Fofana, I don't get it. Like, I watch the replays and I watch any live match I can. And yes, right. he's a box to box midfielder. And yes, he's obviously got skill. But I just don't know why, unless we're going to extend his loan to the rest of the season, why we keep playing him. Because then we're going to have to fill him with like George Williams or something like that. And it's just really going to be annoying to have to basically throw someone in that spot. So I didn't like the Fofana inclusion. But other than that, with Ruiz being injured, he had to obviously take some precautions, especially if Ruiz is going to leave. I had no problems with the starting 11.
Okay, fair enough. And Mike, I'm going to ask Giannis, because Giannis, I'm curious your thoughts about what Mike brought up about Fofana. You know, again, we're just talking starting 11. We can definitely go through and break down his match on Saturday. But what do you think about Mike's comments about utilizing Fofana and his role right now with Fulham?
Well, is this an opportunity for me to get really cheeky and talking about it, you know, making a cheeky little bit to Man City, or am I going to get into trouble for that?
Go for it.
Thank you, Mike. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
The one listener that won't be happy. You know what? Central stopgap. I'm hoping maybe in the transfer window we'll be looking at cover there. I think, isn't Dixon too, who's still out there? I mean, he can come in and do a job, couldn't he?
I'm not sure what, you know, it's funny. He was training with the club at one point. I want to say he moved on somewhere, but I could be wrong about that.
You see, I think that's somewhere where, you know, you go back to the, you know, Mahamadou Diarra, someone who's going to be in the centre of the park, that's going to steady things down, play in front of that back four. We do miss that at the moment. Fofana's fairly young. I don't think he's done too badly. Young, you know, he's got years to grow into his body, let alone anything else. But it does intrigue me as to what's going to happen in terms of the loan, if there's going to be a loan extension. He is temporary at the moment. If he is sent back to the home club, maybe that's going to give a chance to someone like Chris David, who I'd like to see come back into the lineup, you know, if only because of his creativity. Or maybe Kit is already looking at somebody in the transfer window to come in and take Fofana's spot in case he has to go back.
Right. No, that's very, very interesting, Tate, there, Giannis. And that's why, you know, again, I wanted to bring this up because he's a player that, you know, you could see the potential with him, and I understand the criticism on him. You know, again, it's not his first touch, as Mike Gregg will say. It's like his second or third touch, but I can see improvement on him. Mike, I want to go back to you before we move on, talk about Fofana, because we are going to talk about him during the match. Do you think that it was a mistake, because, again, we're talking about starting 11, having him line up in the position he was in a 4-4-2 instead of where he is usually in the diamond? Do you think maybe that was part of the problem?
You know, it definitely could be a part of the problem. I mean, the thing is with a player like Fofana is that he definitely has that physical stature where I really think you could put him in pretty much any position on the park because he runs box to box. He'll never see him standing around, which is a huge positive trait for him. But he definitely seems to strike me as a player that plays in the more compact, concentrated, diamond-esque formation, whereas if you force him to open up, he maybe seems a little bit bewildered at times, a little bit out of place. But overall, I don't think it really affected him all that much. I think we just saw a pretty typical, from what we know of, Fofana kind of match. And I think in the second half, as we get into discussing this, he really showed up more often in the second half. I don't think he was really there in the first half. And as he got used to formation and the way we were playing and the way that we were more getting out wide to Kakaniklic or getting it out to Tunaquif, I really think he kind of realized what was going on more towards the second half of the match rather than the first.
Okay, interesting point. And we'll go, you know, again, we'll go through this as we go on. But I, you know, again, I like talking about the individual players because, you know, again, when we talk about this match, I think a key in this match, and I'm going to ask you guys when we get there, is the halftime change of Kit to change the formation. I definitely want to get your thoughts, and Fofana, I think, plays a role in that. So we'll definitely move on with that. But let's get into really breaking down this match and go through the key moments while we still wait for Nina. Nina, I think, is just having some trouble getting in via Skype, which, you know, again, happens. So hopefully she'll be joining us soon. And let's start here. Giannis, I'll start with you. Fulham actually had a decent start to the match, and they had a great opportunity to score from Hugo, set up by Ross McCormack. And Hugo's been struggling as of late scoring goals. And just talk about this opportunity for Hugo early in the match.
Should have put it away.
Mm-hmm.
Should have put it away. Let's talk about this opportunity for Hugo.
I think we got some feedback there.
Just a little feedback.
Yeah, you know what? He should have finished that. But you're absolutely right, Russ. He has been struggling in recent weeks. He looks like he's tired. He looks like he's run out of gas. And you know what? And I love Hugo, but I think maybe now is the time to perhaps, you know, maybe put Musa in there. Just give him a little bit of a break. I don't think it's a bad thing. Normally, I would have said he would have finished that. But we know what he's like with one-on-ones, right? He's the world's worst. Unfortunately, he couldn't hit a barn door. So he did that, and then of course he hit the post as well. And the two chances, I think he would probably admit he would finish. We'd like to finish. So there you go. I mean, if we go,
okay.
It's a momentum game, you know that, Russell. You got a goal up early, you know, you ask early questions, and we certainly did that. And, you know, Steve Clark is fairly new in the role over there. And, you know, you're on the road. I know they were unbeaten in four, but you go a goal up, then you start, you know, casting doubt in their minds and maybe get a second one soon after and finish the game off. But there are chances that I think he will readily admit he should have put away.
Okay. You know, and again, that's why I want to bring this up. I'm not trying to to really hammer Hugo, but I think he is struggling at this point, you know, really scoring. You know, he's getting the opportunities, he's just not finishing. And, Mike, that's going to lead me to go to the second opportunity Hugo had later on in the first half. And listen, this is a K2 first half. And as Giannis said, if we get the early goal, I think things change dramatically. But we had an opportunity late in the first half. You know, again, this is a combination of a header from Sean Hutchinson that was saved by the goalkeeper, play off of a corner. This is followed up by another shot by Hugo that hit the post. Just talk about this whole scenario and how much the game would have obviously changed if either one of them could have scored there.
Well, first of all, I think Hutchinson did very, very well to get that header. He did very well to get the shot on. It was a great save by the goalkeeper. I thought it was in when Hutchinson hit the ball with his head. But Hugo really needs to be putting those away. Like, I don't understand it. They can put some of these goals away that we see from tight angles, and yet he is missing just open goals. Like, all he needs to do is get a toe to it and just put it down, and somehow he's managing to strike the post. And this isn't like a one-time thing or a once-every-two-week thing. This is an every-match kind of thing now when these chances fall to him and he's missing. So I really don't know. I think Giannis kind of hit the nail on the head with he's a little tired. Because it's a lack of concentration is what it is. It's just he's running around so much as our main striker and playing every single game that it just seems to be a lack of concentration on his part. Because if he could be putting these away, I mean, we wouldn't be nearly having struggling as much as we do in matches. But he does seem to struggle. I think that miss by Hugo was huge. Because had Redding then gone and scored and gotten the first goal, we could also have been seeing a totally different scoreline. So he really needs to either be rested or have maybe a little chat to you saying that you need to concentrate a little more when you're in that box.
Absolutely. You know, and again, I like Hugo as a player. And listen, we talked about on the last show, you know, do you consider at this point, because I do believe that there is a certain amount of speculation surrounding him in regards to other clubs that could be interested in him in January. He is going to be out of contract. What do you do with Hugo? Do you just play it out? Do you try to re-sign him now? And this is part of the issue that, again, I'm having with Hugo. And as we talked about, again, on the last show, goal scorers go through these, you know, ups and downs. You know, they go through these streaks. Well, right now he's having a bad streak. So maybe sitting a match or two could do him, could actually do him some good, Mike. You know, that's the way I look at it. That's why I'm glad that Giannis brought that up. Maybe give Musa a chance. And, again, you know, that'll give him a chance – personally, I'm talking about Hugo, to assess what's going on with him. And then the next time he gets an opportunity, hopefully then he'll start firing on all cylinders right now. Because right now, it seems like he's struggling a little bit. And I do like Hugo, and I want to see Hugo do well. But he needs to be scoring here. Because, again, this could have really come back to bite for him. It didn't, but it could have. And it could have changed the game. You know, one of those two opportunities could have totally changed the game. Guys, I've got some good news. It looks like Nina is on the line.
Right on.
Hello.
Nina, welcome to Cottage Talk Extra Time. I am so sorry you had such a hard time getting through.
Sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I won't bore you, but I've been sitting there in like before 4 o'clock, and I just couldn't get on. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. Technical glitches.
Not a problem, Nina. Listen, I am just glad that you could join us. And on the line with us is Giannis and Mike O'Connor. And just again, Welcome to Cottage Talk Extra Time. It's been a long time, and I'm just glad you could join us.
Thank you. Thank you. And hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Okay, Nina, listen, we are in the process of going through the key moments, but I want to just go back to you and just get your overall thoughts of what you watched yesterday at Craven Cottage. You were there, so just share with me your overall thoughts, and then we'll go back to the key moments.
Right. Well, I thought that it was a rather slow first half, really lacking in atmosphere, I've got to say, which was obviously there were a lot of subdued fans out there. I think that the slowness, the speed of the match was very much down to the very poor referee. I feel that Reading had the best chances in the first half, and then we did rally in the second half, obviously. I was quite pleased with the starting lineup, although I would have started Woodrow personally. And then maybe brought Roddy Ager in later on. But that's it. That's my kind of, thoughts.
Okay, fantastic. Fantastic, Nina. And I look forward to going through all this with you, along with my other two co-hosts. And let's get back to what we were talking about. We just finished talking about the first half, Nina. And let's now focus on the second half. And, Giannis, I will go to you because, again, I look forward to when we get to rating Kip because I think this is part of the rating. And I want to first say this, that I have confidence that Kip will grow in as a manager. And what happened in the beginning of the second half, I think, is a very good sign for Fulham moving forward. Kit did change the formation. He changed it from a 4-4-2 to more of a diamond. And I think it really did help the team in the second half. So just share with me your thoughts about Kit making a tactical change to begin the second half.
I think he had to. I think we were playing too many long balls. I think they were soaking up the pressure. We weren't really troubling per se, and you've got to ask some questions, and I think they were fairly comfortable in terms of the way they were organized at the back. And their back four is pretty decent as well, and they've got some speed and strength up front that you've got to watch. So he's obviously recognized that we're not going to create chances with the formation that we had to start. The reversion to the diamond, I thought, was an excellent idea, and it shows he's adjusting, you know, within the game. And I think that's a big part of coaching anyway. You've got to be able to read the situations, and if it's clear that the opposing coach has sussed out what you're going to do, you've got to ask different questions and see if that will bring, you know, different answers. Remembering that we're the home team. You know, it's the onus is on us to attack as much as we can. And remembering that we got thumped down there earlier this season, 3-0, we wanted to get a positive result. And just sort of, I suppose, carry on the momentum of what happened against Wolves in the Cup. So I was really pleased he made those adjustments. That's a sign of a coach who's developing and growing in his role. I think that's important moving forward. And he's not always going to get it right, Russ. We know that.
Right.
But it's proof positive that he's actually thinking about the game and he's willing to take risks or make the adjustments when necessary. And at the end of the day, I mean, it took 10 minutes for it to bear fruit with Kaká's goal.
But it did bear fruit, Giannis. And that's the point of this. You know, at least he's trying. And like you said, it's not always going to work. I think in this time it actually did work, and that's why I wanted to really focus on this. And Nina, I want to go to you because you were there, and you could probably notice it better than us watching it on a replay. Did you notice the change from, say, the end of the first half, or you could even talk about the entire first half, to the beginning of the second half with the change of formation? Now you have Kaká playing at the tip of the diamond and Fofana playing a different role. Did you see right off the bat a change in form?
Yeah, definitely. It really did suit Caniglish. You know, I thought that it made him play in a very positive, quite standout kind of manner, which I hadn't really noticed him that much in the first half, even though, you know, I was pleased to see him back, obviously. Yes, I agree with you. I think it did work, definitely. And, you know, hats off to Kit for seeing that and making that adjustment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and again, if I'm going to criticize the manager for not making substitutions or not changing formation, I'm certainly going to give him praise when he does try something that actually I think worked. And Mike, I want to get your thoughts on this before we move on. I think this is a key moment of the match, the changing of the formation. What are your thoughts?
I think Giannis kind of stole a little bit of my thunder there, because I think what is genius about what we're seeing from Kit, and I don't mean to just throw out the word genius though, is that we're seeing a manager who is someone who taught, you know, he coached under 18s, under 21s, he scouted for us, but he never really had this main gaffer type of role. And you can't expect someone to come in and be the Pep Guardiola or the Jose Mourinho right off the bat. He's got to learn his trade. He has to learn, especially in such intense leagues as the Championship is, when's the right time to make substitutions? When do we change a formation? Is this just a momentary change in game momentum, or is this something we need to adjust immediately? So what we're seeing right now, much like with the players that he has, is kind of a chemistry building, a type of team, chemistry building and fluidity. So you're seeing Kit develop as you're watching his players develop on the field, which I love to see. And I think he got the substitutions and the change of formation spot on. And, of course, we'll talk about it later in the second half. But I think Kit really showed that he's learning from his replays, from his videos, from the training ground as a manager, and he's definitely on the up, coming up as our manager.
Absolutely, you know, it's a maturation process, and this is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see if he could adapt and learn from prior matches, learn from just experience of being the manager here on a different level. I know he's been a caretaker manager before, but I think this is a little bit different for him, you know, because again, this is a significant amount of time. He's also worked with the academy team, so for me, I think this is a little step up in the maturation process of a manager, and I think we saw a nice step in this match. So that's why I think it's something that I really wanted to harp on, because I think it was a key part of this match.
Do you mind if I ask Nina a quick question?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay, so this is, for me, was a huge key moment of the match, and I want to get everyone's opinion on this, mainly because I'm not exactly sure myself on the rule. When the goalkeeper for Reading seemed to handle the ball in their box, was that, what did you think when you were there watching it live in person? Because when I heard it over Gentleman Jim, it sounded like a definite free kick on the edge of the box, whatever the rule is. You rarely see that happen. So what did you see from your perspective for that?
To be honest with you, I didn't really notice, to be quite honest. When exactly did this happen?
It happened about 16 minutes into the first half, one of the defenders basically made a really, really strong, stern pass back to the goalkeeper. It bounced right in front of his feet, came up, and hit his right arm.
Right,
And it looked like he handled it to get control.
To be honest, I've got to be completely honest, I didn't notice this at all. And I've read a couple of match reports, and it hasn't really been mentioned either. Yeah, the problem is, I think, as you all know, standing in stands, you don't see all the little nuances. So I do apologize. That's something that just completely missed me.
Okay. Not a problem. Not a problem, Nina. Not a problem at all. Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on what Mike just brought up.
Get out of here. Ouch. Sorry, my cat's back again.
Oh.
Get out of here.
Famous.
Yeah, Zamora's out. Sorry about that, Russ. Zamora's out. Can I give a little shout out here, if you don't mind?
Sure, go ahead.
We've got a new listener, actually, on the line, a very close friend of mine, Jane. She's probably going to be dying with embarrassment now. She lives in London. Hi to Jane. I feel sorry for her, though, because her partner's a Liverpool supporter. He still hasn't gone through therapy yet. I mean, there's no helping some people. Do you know, I've forgotten your question. What a silly bunny I am.
The question was, Giannis, I don't know if you know, remember when this happened, when the defender from Reading basically stern passed all the way back to the goalkeeper, and it hit the goalkeeper on the arm as he tried to control the ball. It almost looked as if he used his arm to control it. Isn't that a penalty, or if not a free kick right outside the box?
To me, it's a free kick. It's a free kick outside the box. But the linesman on the near side was actually unsighted, and he should have seen that.
Okay, so it definitely was, wasn't it?
Yeah, he definitely was. It was. It's one where you go up to the linesman and say, "Look, I've got a local optician who's really good, and he'll sort you out. He can get you some medical care, and you better go over there."
I recommend that to Nina as well, who also missed it, optician.
Well, the thing is, you know what, Nina? I mean, a lot of these refs and linesmen, honestly, I've known bats. Don't ask me why. But I've known bats that have better eyesight than some of these people. I mean, that one yesterday, that ref yesterday, you know what? I'm 49 years of age, and I've got one leg. And my great-grandmother would be 130 now, and she'd still run quicker than that guy did yesterday. I mean, honestly, really. And you know what? In a game like that, where it got a little bit testy, there's a little bit of time wasting, a little bit of gamesmanship and all that sort of nonsense. And this ref is huffing and puffing like Humpty Dumpty on the bloody wall.
I know.
Trust me, Giannis, we're going to talk about the ref. I don't like talking about the ref too much, but in this case, I think we have to. We're definitely going to talk about the ref when we rate everything because, again, after listening to it and then watching it, it was worse watching him, honestly.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Do you know what, Russ? Russ, I used to play with a lad before I got injured many years ago. I used to play with a lad called Tosh, and Tosh was an Irish kid, good lad. But this kid used to have a burger an hour before a game and a pint of Guinness, and I reckon he's one of those descendants. And then he'd wonder why 20 minutes in the game he'd start throwing up. Well, the twonk, you realise if you're going to have a burger and a Guinness an hour before a game, you're going to throw up, aren't you? And this guy couldn't keep up with play. He couldn't keep up with play.
No, he couldn't. And honestly, Giannis, it was a factor in this game. I don't like when the referee becomes that much part of the match. And I thought he became a huge part of this match. And I just, you know, again, that's not a big, you know, I'm not a big fan of the ref being a factor in the match. And he certainly was for what he didn't do. And then what, you know, again, couldn't keep up with the pace. You know, it was terrible. And I look forward to rating him when we get there. But let's move on because we certainly got a good amount to talk about. So, Giannis, I'll go back to you. Let's now talk about the goal. Let's talk about the goal by Kaká from Scott Parker. This was actually a very nice goal taken by Kaká.
I thought the finish was excellent. Don't get me wrong, but to me, the pass on Parker was absolutely sublime. I mean, he's not just hit the channel, and you tell players that. Look, you got the gap between the right back and the right centre back. You're always going to have that little gap. The defenders are going to look at each other, but he's absolutely drilled it. He's done it with pace. He's done it with spin. Kaká's made the run off the ball, the right angle. It's a beautiful finish. It's a lovely, lovely goal. And it just goes to show, you know, Parker's got a lot of mileage. He's like the old mini club with 200,000 on the clock. Has to have the regular oil change and all that sort of stuff. At the same time, he still has some stuff left in his engine. And he does have, you know, class and quality is permanent. And it was a lovely ball. And Kaká really needed that goal because it's been such a long time since he scored for us. And a lot of boo boys out there conveniently forget that not only is this lad young, but this lad is a Swedish international playing with players like, you know, Larsson, the Olsen twins, and obviously Ibrahimovic as well. It was a lovely finish, and it was great for him, and it was a lovely goal.
It was. And what was funny here, Giannis, again, the goal, you know, again, this was a back-and-forth cagey match, you know, again, but I thought we started off well in the second half, and I could feel, call me crazy, I could feel the goal coming, and I'm so glad it finally came. And, again, Fulham were up 1-0, and, you know, and at that point, I had a feeling that we could push on and get that second. And, Nina, I almost thought we did get the second because in the 60th minute, there was a miss from a free kick from Ross McCormack that was very close. And it's funny because what we listened to, you know, again, listening to Gentleman Jim and Sean Davis, they both thought that it actually went in. And they had to basically go back because they actually thought that he almost scored this goal. So talk about this opportunity by Ross McCormack. I don't know what view you got, but did you think he might have scored?
Yes, I did, and it did look from where I was sitting as well as though it had gone shooting into the back of the net, but in fact it had just literally gone past outside the net, and we all did sort of stand up. Well, we were standing up anyway, but we all did give a little cheer for a second until we realised that he had just missed. So it was a missed opportunity, but at that point it was rather encouraging to see that it was such a near miss. And I did have this rather optimistic feeling that another goal would come. Although at the time I thought it would be McCormack to score it and not Ruiz, who was obviously still sitting on the bench at that point.
Right.
So I think it was encouraging to see him play like, to see McCormack play like that. And for a second I thought it had gone in.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I mean, the way the two of them acted, you know, it's like, you know, then I saw the tweets afterwards, you know, say, you know, from all of us listening, you know, like, oh, you know, you made us feel like he scored, but again, they thought he scored too, or was very close to scoring. So I don't blame them. I mean, it's not a big deal, you know. It was just an interesting part of this match because obviously if he scores there, we go up 2-0 and we're in pretty good shape. And Mike, I'm going to go to you because shortly after that, obviously, Reading started to build up a little bit of pressure, and you know, it's funny, they had several corners in this match, and I'll go through the stats and show that to you because they were building up the corners throughout the match, and you know, I had a bad feeling that eventually one of these corners would go in. Well, in the 63rd minute, a goal by Pavel Pogrebnyak. Yes, as Jana said, it's very Fulhamish for a former player to score against Fulham. So talk about this situation that leveled the match at 1-1.
you know, it's one of those situations where you see corner conceded by Fulham, corner conceded by Fulham, and you're like, okay, if you can't clear your lines and you're giving them 3 to 4 chances, just one of these times it's going to fall to the big guy. And, of course, the big guy has to be one of our previous players. And, you know, when it scored, I didn't even have to look at who did it. I knew. I knew instantly who had scored. And it was Pavel Pogrebniak. And I think what really, really kind of grinded my gears about that situation is not because of him. I don't mind him. But I mind how, and we'll talk about this later, I'm sure, how dirty he specifically, as well as the whole team, seemed to have played that entire game with a useless ref. And so the fact that he was able to basically bully our entire team and make some of the most outrageous challenges and not get anything for it, and then he's rewarded with a goal, that kind of set me alight a little bit. But I did think after they had scored, I'll be completely honest, after they had scored, I knew we were going to win the match. I didn't think it would come in the 93rd. I didn't think so. When it got to that point, I thought, okay, maybe my gut feeling was wrong. Maybe we are going to go for a 1-1 draw. But even when they scored, I was like, this, I just knew that's not how it was going to end. I thought it was going to be a Rodallega goal or a McCormick goal in like the 85th. But regardless, I just couldn't – I knew we weren't going to let him beat us that way. We weren't going to let Reading win that way. So yeah, even though we did go down and I was very, very upset with letting another set piece kind of go in, I wasn't too concerned after the goal had happened.
Okay, fair enough. Good take by you. And it's funny because, again, it seems like we always seem to be going back to the ref, and that just shows how much of a part of this match the ref had, you know, and it's unfortunate, you know. And again, because I actually talked to a friend of the show, College Talk co-host, Emilio Danello, who basically told me last night that he just didn't want to see Reading win this match because of the way they played, the way that they acted.
Absolutely, yep.
And I agree with him on that, but part of the responsibility on how they played, Mike, and I think you'll agree with me on this, has to go with the ref because he lost control of this match. And, you know, again, they played the way that they were allowed to play. I don't like the way that they played, but I also put the onus on the ref because he lost control of this match. And that's going to lead me to go to you, Giannis, because, again, yeah, I had to watch this a few times. I don't know if I got a great angle of this, but I want to ask you, in the 84th minute, Simon Cox got a yellow card.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you, should it have been a red card? Because I watched this a few times. It looked like he was basically stomping on Kostas Stefanidis.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Another example where maybe we need to get we need to book the ref a supplementary optician's appointment there. You know, because, yeah, it's a straight bloody red, but he's, you know, I'm going to give pilloried for this, but I'm going to give a bit of credit to Reading here, because let's go back to Pogrebniak. Pogrebniak only did what he could get away with. They sussed out the ref early on, and they were really, really physical about it, and there were some dirty challenges. But something that Kit said a few weeks ago, I thought, and made my little ears stand up, when he said that we're a little bit of a soft team. You know, we've got some skill, we've got some speed, you know, we're a smart little team, but we're not exactly what you call physical. So Reading are going to kind of come in and try and boot the you-know-whats out of us, knowing that we're not exactly going to fight back. So I suppose what they did early on is they tested the waters. Pogrebniak, when he was with us at the college, we knew he was a big physical lad anyway. His history speaks for itself. Once they felt first 15, 20 minutes they were going to get away with it, they started taking liberties. Technically, he could have given 3 red cards yesterday and he's not done it. But Reading have only taken advantage of the ineptitude of the ref anyway. And just as a little thing about Pogrebniak, I've got to say it was a super goal. It was a lovely goal. It's a nice corner. He's coming. Yeah. He's a big lad. It's a good header. It's gone in. I was really sorry when he went elsewhere. We lost him because I remember the hat trick against Wolves when we thumped him. I think it was 5-0, and he was a loss. But I think as a club, and maybe as a manager, we need to learn from this, because if the rumours going around right now, Russ, are true, that one of the players we might be after is Robert Huth, and I know he's a polarising figure. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But if the rumors are true that we're going to get a lad like this, I'm all for it. And the reason is because we are too nice as a team. And we need to have a little bit of gumption at the back. We need to have a little bit of, you know, the old, you know, Francis Benali, Vinnie Jones, Joey Butt, someone in there that's going to keep attackers honest, someone's going to keep midfielders honest, a striker that's going to, you know, cause problems physically, just so that we have a little bit of an edge playing as opposed, you know, to supplement the skill and speed that we've got. So we can moan about the tactics of Reading, and they were appalling. and only because really the ref allowed him to get away with it. But at the same time, it's probably some of the ingredients that us as a team probably do need moving forward. And that's why, looking at maybe the Robert Huth thing, I really hope we sign him, because he's someone now that's going to keep opposing attackers honest. And now teams are going to have to take us seriously, because you know, if anything's going wrong, you know Huth is going to step in there and take care of business. So it's an interesting...
Right.
But to answer your question, yes, to me that was a red card, for sure.
Okay, okay. And, you know, and it's funny because I plan on talking about Robert Huth on the next episode, because, again, I've seen the speculation involved in him. And, Yanis, you bring up a good point. Maybe we do need a player like that. Let's see if that smoke turns into fire, because, you know, I've been thinking about it ever since I saw the speculation. Now you're talking about it during the match, and I could see the value of having someone that has that – that determination, that strength. Maybe we need a player like that. Maybe that's not such a bad idea. And I understand why you brought that up. But getting back to this, and then I'll go to the other guys about this. You know, there was a situation a little bit later. You talked about a possible three situations that could have been red cards.
Yep.
There was a situation with Scotty Parker where the defender grabbed his arm. Was that a possible red card?
Yeah. I mean, isn't it funny? You know, I've said it many times before, you never mind a bad ref providing he or she is consistent. I mean, how the heck does Bodrov get a yellow card, right? I mean, there's a laugher right now. He must have put the different lenses on for that one. You know, you look at the three yellow cards we took, Bodrov, Tunnicliffe, and Kacaniklic, and, you know, he gave four yellows to Reading. He could have technically given three reds. He did, I mean, Mike nailed it on the head. He lost control early on, and it's
totally.
Like, you know, it's like being, you know, being a teacher, right? You, the most important day of the year is the first day. You walk in, you set the rules, you set the parameters. The kids know what you're going to do. There has to be consistency. But once you let things slide, anarchy's created. And what he did is early on, he let everything go. And now you can't turn around and say, "Well, I'm going to start wielding cards," because players are going to surround you, going, "What the hell? You weren't calling that early in the game," and that's where he fell foul. When he decided to try and make up for it, it was too late. So that's something where I know that at every Championship, League One, League Two, Premier League game, you have a referee's assessor there. And there would have been a referee's assessor in the stands yesterday and would have looked at that and established the first 20, 25 minutes there was no pattern of control. And beyond that, things started to go haywire. It could have turned very, very ugly yesterday. And this is something, maybe it's a learning curve for the lad, but it's also... luckily things didn't explode, because there were points in that game when it really could have taken off.
Absolutely. And listen, you know, again, I understand why everyone's upset at Reading because how Reading played, and I agree with all that, but I'm also putting the onus on this referee, because again, they were doing what the referee allowed them to do. And so that's why, you know, I don't like talking bad about a ref, unless the ref has been really egregious. And I think he was egregious the way he treated this match. He let things go, and it escalated out of control. I totally believe he lost control of this match, as we've all been talking about. But let's move on. Nina, I'm going to give you the pleasure of describing the winning goal in the third minute of stoppage time. You were there. Talk about this goal and the emotions going on at Craven Cottage.
Yeah, I've got a lot to say about Brian Liz in general, actually. I don't know whether it's the time to do it now or later on. I hope we are going to rank him, by the way. I know he wasn't on for very long, but I'd still like to rank him.
Okay.
I just felt that when he came on, he changed the match. He came on immediately. He took a header. He went on to show some amazing ball skills, as he always does. He suddenly, from a rather, I thought, rather scrappy period, the guy came on and he looked in a different league to most of the other players on the pitch. And it wasn't a surprise to see him score at all. I had that feeling again. I was like Michael in my optimism. I just, even in those last gasp minutes, I just felt that that we were going to score. And I mean, obviously, we have to credit Cooley Woodrow as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was a stroke of pure brilliance to take the cross from a Cormac and to header it like he did over to Brian, who happened to be standing because the guy's class act. Of course he was standing in exactly the right place, and of course he was able to header a very short range header in. So it was a poetic moment. But can I just say that afterwards he came over, he came over to the Hammersmith end with his teammates, and his teammates were sort of almost pushing him forward for him to take the credit for this goal, even though it was an amazing assist. And he was smiling. Can I just say for the record, he was smiling. Okay. He was pleased. He looked happy about it. Of course he did. Now, I'm not slamming into any Facebook groups, and I'm certainly not going to mention any names, but there's been a long, long discussion on the Fulham, you know, the main Fulham Facebook stream, about that someone shown a picture of him in that instant when the photographer clicked. He's not smiling. It looked as though he was pushed over by one of the Reading defenders. He had literally just got up. He was caught in that moment, not smiling. But can I say for the record, he was smiling. He was celebrating. He was happy. He was part of the team. He is playing for the team. All these rumours circulating around of people saying that he doesn't want to be there, he's got the wrong attitude, he's got the wrong style of football for Fulham. It looks as though he's just waiting for another offer to go somewhere better. Sorry, the guy is in a Fulham team. He's the longest standing player in the team. He is class personified. I saw that yesterday. We all saw it yesterday. And yes, the guy won us the match. He won us the 3 points. I don't understand. And everyone's got their own viewpoint, of course. But the constant slating of Brian Ruiz is beginning to really get me down. And if he's reading some of these posts, no wonder he's not 100% throwing himself into celebrations with the fans, that are, some of which are writing rather negative comments about him. Rant over. Thank you for listening.
Oh, wow. Nina, all I can say is welcome back to Cottage Talk. You know, I mean, that was very eloquently said, my friend. That was actually truly wonderful, and I'm glad that you got that off your chest and was able to talk and say what
you
needed to say. And
I feel so much better.
I'm glad that I could give you a forum that you could actually say that, and I wasn't going to stop you. I wanted you to keep going until you got it all out. So. Kudos to you, Nina, for saying that and throwing that all out there. I'm glad that you just went off for a good 3 or 4 minutes, and I just sat there with a big smile on my face. Thank you, Nina.
Good for you.
Okay, that was actually a very good way to segue to go back. Now we've talked about all the key moments. Nina, what was the key moment of the match overall?
That was.
Okay.
Yes, that was it was that moment. It was
okay.
That moment. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Mike, how about you? Is it the match winner, or are we looking someplace else?
We lost it.
Put the game to bed.
I think we lost it a little bit, Mike. Can you say that again?
The moment of the match.
Well,
yeah, I said
what was it, Mike?
You score 2 minutes left in the game. Yep, that's it for me. The match
winner. Okay. Okay, I think we're just having some technical problems hearing you, but I just heard that at the end. Okay, good. Giannis, how about you? Is it the match winner, or are we looking at someplace else?
Two things here. Nina, will you marry me for that comment?
You're married already.
Yeah, I know. But
otherwise, of course.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. My heart's with one, but yeah, absolutely. Firstly. Secondly, absolutely. And Nina, listen, I've got to pay tribute. Thank you. Thank you for going off. Had to be done. Let me just be a little bit more blunt and less eloquent than you were, dear. We've got some village idiots out there. Let's be honest about this. They wouldn't know class if it pooed on their head. I mean, if you look back at the history of Fulham, and you know, we've gone way, way back, you think of the quality players we had, the class players, the players, you know, for those of us old enough to remember the Matt Letizia's, the Tony Curry's, the Stan Bowles, the Frank Worthington's, the players that could turn a game on a dime. And you know what? And Russ, you've known me long enough to know how supportive I've been of this player. How much you and I have talked extensively about what he's done for Costa Rica. What a quality player. It makes me absolutely puke to hear these fans, the bandwagon bloody fans, going off about, brilliant, he scored a goal. You village idiots. Last year, you were shitting on Berbatov. Berbatov in the first, I mean, yeah, he switched off. Don't get me wrong. Let's not forget what he did in the first year when he was at Fulham. Ruiz is a quality, quality player. If you take a look at the replay of that goal yesterday, right? I mean, Nina nailed it. When he came on, he made a huge difference. It was like the team had a blood transfusion. But the goal in itself, the way he arched his body back to get that header in was absolutely sensational. This guy has done, you know, you can't ask a Joey Barton to start knocking 20, 30-yard balls and beating four players. That's not his style. Ruiz is a touch and finesse player. He has to have the ball at his feet. You can't get him chasing. You don't expect him to drop and defend. That's not his style. That's not the way he plays. But what he does is he keeps defenders honest because he's got that little bit of quality. And that was quality. And class is always going to be permanent. You know, and I said, you know, end of story. I think we're going to lose him. But I hope to God we don't, because how the hell do we replace him? I don't know. So I'm hoping that yesterday, if Nina's talking about, you know, he went to the crowd and he had a smile, I hope to God Kit got him back and said, you know what, that's why we need you here. We want you here. The fans want you here. Stay. All the naysayers, all the little naysayers, you know, who conveniently forget we were the bottom of Division 4 those years ago when I used to go down to Torquay and we were playing in front of 1,500 fans, we remember those days. Well, sometimes, you know what, you know, our memories have to be a little bit longer. So it was to me, it was a big moment, and I hope for him it is that maybe he phones his agent and says, look, maybe I'll wait till the summer, let's stay put.
Okay, very good take by both of you on Brian Ruiz. And Nina, I'm telling you, talking about class, you definitely add class to Cottage Talk Extra Time when you can come on, so thank you for doing that.
All right,
let's move on, and let's go to Stat Attack. I'm just going to read the stats and you guys tell me what stands out to you. Let's start here. Possession. Fulham actually had 53% to 47% for Reading. Total shots. This one is tells you a little bit here. Total shots. Fulham only had 10. Reading had 21. Shots on target. Fulham had 3. Reading had 6. Shooting accuracy. This is an interesting stat. Fulham were at 30%. Reading were at 27%. Passing accuracy. Fulham were at 73%. Passing accuracy, Reading were at 75%. Crosses, which I always find interesting. Fulham only had 18. Reading had 44. Fouls, this is a very interesting stat. Fulham had 10. Reading had 19. And corners, they had 12. Reading had 12. And Fulham had 5. And I think we all saw the amount of corners, and there was a good amount of corners. All right, Mike, I'm going to start with you. What stands out to you with the stats from this match?
The main stat for me that stands out, what was the shot count that you just read off?
The what?
What was the shot count that you just read
off? The shots were 21 to 10, the total shots.
Okay, yeah. I'm reading that as well, and I'm also reading that we had 3 on target and they had 6. I don't know how accurate this is, but I'm pulling that off the BBC. And I think what's really key to note there is that how much, I mean, Reading had jumped from 20 yards away out high and wide. I mean, completely them whole. But I think it shows that our defensive display really kept them limited. Yes, they put pressure on us, and yes, they were able to get some nice little passing movements outside the box done, but it came to limiting their shots. The defense did well. When it came to when we had our shots on target, we put them away. So I think the shot for me stood out because fouls, the game was scrappy the whole time. That's going to happen. Corners, we concede too many corners all the time anyway. So I think that shots, that we were able to be clinical with them and put them away. And even though we give Reading all these opportunities to shoot, they're not really worthwhile chances. I think that was the key stat for me.
Okay, fantastic. Giannis, how about you? What stands out for you from the stats from this match?
Funnily enough, well, there's 2. I mean, 3 shots on net is still not acceptable. Let's be honest about this. And so it's great that we scored 2, but our accuracy has to be better. The 19 fouls is also intriguing. That's one every four plus. And you know what? To be honest with you, Russ, I'm a little surprised at the tactics that Reading employed, because Steve Clarke is an excellent coach. He was at Chelsea. I thought he did a very good job at West Brom. And I actually happen to think he's a very good fit for Reading. But that's not his style. He's not. He's never been a, you know, he's a finesse and a craft and a skill kind of guy. And it surprises me that those tactics were employed. It makes me wonder if it was actually he that did it, or maybe it was the players that did it. Because it just, you know, if you look at Clark's history, he's, you know, there's certain coaches in the league that, you know what they're going to be like. It's like the blue collar, roll up your sleeves and get your arms mucky. But he's not one of them. So that surprised me. 19 fouls is a lot. And, you know, they took four yellow cards and they could have taken three red. And another thing to mention, that wasn't the sort of performance that I saw when they beat us 3-0 down in Reading. So that was a little bit disappointing. I think they've got more talent than that. I think they're a better side than that. They really didn't need to do that. But the 19 fouls certainly is certainly a stat that stood out for me.
No, that's actually something that stood out to me. How about you, Nina?
Well, I think it's all been said, really. I think it's interesting that we had slightly more of the possession overall. I think, again, it's to just have three shots on target is a little disappointing. I think the fouls, the fact that Reading had 19 does, as you just said, Yanis, say it all, and as opposed to our 10. I think that, you know, our five corners compared to their 12 looks a little kind of lacking. Not that we seem to score many goals off of set pieces anyway, but for another team to have 12 corners and only score one goal in the match, I think that says something, maybe something a little bit encouraging about our defence.
Yep.
Okay. No, very, very good stuff by all three of you. And before we go rate the players, I want to ask the three of you a question. And Yanis, you kind of mentioned this at the beginning, and I want to go back to this. Again, Fulham get the victory. And but there's one player that was missing that is out injured, and I hope returns very soon. I want to ask you this. I want to ask all three of you. How much of a difference would Lasse Vigen Christensen made in this game, Yanis?
I think huge because his mobility is the problem. His mobility is the problem for opposing teams. He's a jack in the box. You can't keep up with him. You know, you ask any midfielder and defender, what do they hate? They hate players that run. They hate you having to run around like a headless chicken for 90 minutes. He gives us energy. He really does. And again, you know, I've not been critical of Kit. He's made some mistakes. I mean, let's consider, guys, as a manager, he's picked up 30 points. You know, we were in dire straits. But Russ, you and I talked about the discomfort level with playing him after a hamstring injury. I mean, we're not all idiots. I thought it was I don't care if he's passed a fitness test. It's one thing passing a fitness test and going through 90 minutes. And as soon as he went down, I thought, oh, he's done for a month. So that was a mistake and a lesson learned for Kit. But certainly he would have made a big difference. But it's the plus side is that we're winning without him.
Right, that's the point of me bringing that up, Yanis.
Yeah.
We are winning without him.
Yeah,
and I think that's a good sign for the future, to win without him, because I think we're only going to be better when he is back in the side. That's the reason why I wanted to pose this to all three of you, especially to you, Yanis, because you brought it up earlier. I could just see the difference that he would have made in this match. And Nina, you've actually had a chance to watch him in person. How much of a difference do you think he would have made yesterday?
Well, I think he would have made an earlier difference. I think he would have put a lot more pace in the first half. I think that he is a handful. Yanis is absolutely right, and he's just been. I think he's one of the most on form players before his injury that I've seen for quite a while. He just seemed to be just getting better and better with every match. And I think that, I think we would have maybe had an earlier goal. In fact, we can look back at the matches he's missed and say that perhaps we would have had some earlier goals rather than having these kind of last, you know, not that I'm knocking them, but these last gasp goals in the second half. I think we're missing him.
Okay, and you know, again, that's why I want to bring it up, and Mike, finally to you, because the one thing that I've noticed in these last several matches is we're missing his penetration, his ability to get in the box and cause damage. And again, I think it also showed itself in this last match. We did win the match, but I think we missed, well, I'll say Vegan Christensen. Do you?
I think we've missed him, obviously. I think everyone would agree we've missed him since he's been out. I think we wouldn't have lost Cardiff. You know, if we would have lost to Brighton. I don't know. You know, I don't think that we would be seeing these kind of results if we had him in the side. He is one of those players that makes such a difference for the entire team. He galvanizes the team. When people are tired, they see him with energy. They get energy. He's got such creativity and such class beyond his years that I think he is definitely one of our, if not our most important player of the season thus far. We would probably be seeing a few different results in the previous weeks had Lasse been playing. I can't wait for him to get back on the pitch. I just hope that his form is just laid dormant while he's been injured and he comes back right on top of it, because he is really the spark that we need, and we really can utilize him right about now.
I totally agree, but I also see this as an opportunity, Mike, and getting this victory I think is an opportunity to win without a key player. And they're going to have an opportunity against Nottingham Forest, same thing, because based on what I've heard from Kidd, I don't think he's going to play in that match either, which I think is the right thing to do. So I think, in a way, it's actually a good thing to win without a key player, because, it sharpens your game. It shows that you can win without him, but you're just that much better with him. So, again, when he comes back, we could see Fulham take it up a level. That's why I wanted to pose this question to you, because I think we're missing him, but the fact that we can win without him, I think, is huge. So just wanted to bring that up. All right, guys, let's go to the section of the show that everyone loves. It's rating the players, the manager, the opposition, and the ref. We only have about a half hour, so we're going to have to go through this a little bit quicker than we normally would. I always start with Marcus Bettinelli. We will do him just by himself, but then we're going to do 4-4-2, basically. I'm going to ask a great deal of you to rate several players at the same time, just for time's sake. But, Giannis, I'll start with you. Give me a rating for Marcus Bettinelli in this match.
I'm going to give him a 7. I thought he was solid. Watching the game, I liked a lot of the communications with that back four, bossing around. Couple of good saves, commanding in the area. He's growing from strength to strength. I know in the transfer window, Kit will probably want to get a backup, and not a number one keeper, but a backup keeper that he can learn from. But I thought he did a good job today, so I'd give him a 7.
Okay, fantastic. Nina, how about you?
I'll give him 7 as well. He did what he had to do, and he was solid. So 7.
Okay, Mike.
Yep, he gets a 7. No serious mistakes. He made the great saves when he needed to. He's very communicative in the box. And overall, just another solid performance by our number one.
Okay, fantastic. All right, Giannis, I'm going to go back to you. Let's do our back four all together. I know it's a great deal, but just for time's sake, let's rate Kostas Stafoulidis, Jack Rimmer, then we're talking about Nikolai Bodaroff and Sean Hutchinson. I'm curious your grades for all four of them.
Okay, Stafoulidis, 5, Bodaroff, 7, Hutchinson, 7, Grimmer, 7. I'm going to talk about Grimmer. Grimmer's really, really grown into his role since coming back from Shrewsbury. And I think Kit's going to have a little bit of a problem when Hoogland gets back. I know that Hoogland is maybe 2 or 3 weeks away, but Grimmer's done well enough to, I think, keep his spot. Hutchinson and Bodaroff were commanding at the back. As they are, they're consistent. Although, you know, can we upgrade? We talked about who, certainly. Stafoulidis, yep. I thought, had a little bit of an off day yesterday. But, you know, I temper it with the fact that the lad is still only 20 years of age. He's had some excellent games this year, and he's certainly going to be part of the fixture moving forward. So those are my grades. Stafoulidis, 5, and the other three for me get 7.
Okay, let me ask you about Kostas Stafoulidis, because I actually agree with your rating on that, and I'll get thoughts of Nina and Mike, but, you know, again, most of their action was coming down his side. You know, again, do you put some of the onus not just on him, but the players not covering him enough, maybe, you know, to help him out? or is it more about Stafford just having an off day?
I think it's a little bit of both. And a lot's going to depend on the formation. If you've got a, if you play with the diamond formation, you should be able, you technically should be able to cover if everybody does their job. And that's going to be part of the, you know, the conundrum. Is Kick going to perhaps, you know, revert to the wide midfielders, in which case really Stafford is going to have the cover. I've, you know, betwixt and between, the good thing about having wide midfielders is you play in partnership with the fullbacks. And I rather prefer that because it doesn't put as much pressure on the fullbacks, especially when you've got really quick and crafty wingers. And we've seen quite a few of them in Championship as it is. So I think it was a little bit of both. Not enough cover, and he just had a little bit of an off day as well.
Okay, fantastic. Mike, over to you.
Grimmer, we're still talking about the defense here. Grimmer gets a seven. Grimmer gets a six. Hutchinson gets a seven. Bodrov got a seven. And Stafford, I disagree with that rating, and I would give Stafford a six. I'm a big fan of the kid. I really, really am. And maybe that plays into some bias of what some of my opinions on him. But I highly rate this guy being 20 years of age, coming in for his first year in the English game. And I think that we're just starting to see maybe some tiredness from him because he is playing on a wider role and he's pretty much started every single game for us. So perhaps that the game time is starting to get to him. But I think Grimmer's really growing into his role. And just like Yana said, I think that he's going to give Kidd a headache when Hoogland gets back. Hutchinson and Bodrov are a great pairing, and they're really, really molding well together. And Stafford, I love that he ventures forward. He's got some really nice quick feet movements. He's quick. He's got a powerful left foot, as we all know. But he definitely does get caught out sometimes going forward with little people helping him cover. So, I get 2-6. Grimmer and Stafford get a 6, and Bodrov and Hutchinson get a 7.
Okay, fantastic. And listen, we did listen on the match, Mike, that gentleman Jim did say that he thought that Stafford in the match was possibly struggling with an injury. You know, he looked like he was he might have picked up a knock during the match. So again, that might have been a factor later on in the match. I'm not 100% sure, but that's just something to think about as well. That maybe that was a factor in his play later on in the match. That maybe he was dealing with something, in the late stages. All right, Nina, how about you on the back four?
I'm afraid I'm going to give Stafford a 4.
Wow.
I know. I think he had a real off day. He did a good clearance in the first attempt, the visitors' first attempt at the goal in the first half. But apart from that, I thought he didn't have a good day at all. In fact, he had a couple of shockers, actually. So I'm afraid I'm just going to give him a 4. For that match, not for his season as a whole, but for that match.
Yeah.
And then the other three guys, Grimmer, Hutchinson, Bodarov, I'm going to give a solid 6 to all three of them.
Okay.
I think that they were adequate. I think that Grimmer is incredibly energetic, which is always, you know, is always good to see. I thought Hutchinson made some very good passes. Bodarov, it was his usual solid self, but they didn't do anything for me to award them any more than 6 each.
Okay, fair enough. And boy, Nina, really, really putting down the hammer on Costa Stafford with a 4. I like it. Wow, tough grader, Raider grader, whatever you want to say. All right, let's talk about the midfield. Michael, go back to you. Let's talk about Scott Parker, Ryan Tunnicliffe, Seiko Fofana, and Kaká. We'll just say Kaká. It's just easier. We'll just say Kaká.
Yeah. Parker, for me, really showed his experience, showed his leadership potential, and showed why he's our team captain. I think Parker gets a 7 from me. Let me go back to him. We're going to go, you know, to Tunnicliffe, gets a 5 for me. He did a lot of running around. He showed that he wanted the effort and he had the motivation to put it in, but he didn't, in my opinion, contribute all that much effectively. He contributed with his pressure and with his running, with his endurance, but he didn't really, this match, show too much of an actual effective effort when it came to creating chances. So he gets a 5. Fofana is going to get a 6 for me. He was running around a lot, doing his box-to-box, but what I was really impressed with was that he did make sure that Grimmer had cover. He was always running back, and he was always going back to make sure that defensively he did his part. So Fofana makes up for some of his lack of his decision-making or first-touch ability with his ability to get back and defend properly, which I really, really like to see. Kakaniklic, for me, gets a 7. I think that he had a fantastic game, although he made some silly mistakes. He does show his class. He shows his ability to get some nice movement in the box, and he also seems to have built up a bit more upper body strength since he's come back to us. So he's definitely improved as an overall player. Parker, I'm actually going to go ahead and give him an 8. Okay. He's going to be my man of the match because I just think that him in the center, he played a fantastic game. He was always under the defense, and he was always integral to going forward. And I think he really showed his leadership capabilities there. So an 8 for Parker, 5 for Tunnicliffe, 6 for Fofana, and a 7 for Kakaniklic.
Very good, very good. Giannis, over to you, my friend.
Okay, let's go. Fofana gets a 6, Tunnicliffe gets a 5, Kaka gets a 7, Parker gets an 8. Tunnicliffe didn't have the greatest of games. I'm not sure whether it's because he was in the middle or not, but he's going to take time to adjust. Fofana was fairly solid. Nothing too special, but, I mean, can we upgrade? We may have to if we send him back to City. Kaka, I thought, had a good game. He's getting, and Mike's right, he's physically got a little bit bigger, which is good. Nice goal. Parker, for me, gets a man of the match at 8, and for no other reason, not just for his work rate, but that sublime pass that led to Kaka's goal. Absolutely fantastic ball. And he's captain fantastic. Lots of energy, certainly sets the example. So those would be my grades.
Okay, fantastic. Nina, how about you?
Parker gets a 7. I mean, I kind of expect him to play like he did. Usual solid play. Tunnicliffe also gets 5 from me. He didn't really figure that much, to be honest with you. I didn't think. Fofana gets 5 as well, I'm afraid. He's just, and that's just because he's, I just don't think he's living up to his potential. I mean, when he came over to us on loan, I got a couple of messages from City fans saying, "You're so lucky, this guy, he's the future, you know, we're jealous that you've got him." And he's just not living up to that at the moment. Maybe it's just inexperience, maybe he's settling in, but I give him a 5 because I think he could do a bit better. And yep. I'm afraid I'm going to give Kakaniklic an 8.
Okay.
The guy came back, all guns blazing, scored a goal. He looked really passionate and happy to be there. He put a lot of energy into it. And I just think for that and the fact he's back, I'm going to give him an 8.
Excellent. Very good there, Nina. Okay. Well, so I'm going to go right back to you. Let's finish off with the strikers. Give me a rating for Ross McCormack and Hugo.
Me. Okay, me again. Yeah.
Yes.
Hugo, I'm going to give a 6 this time. Big fan of Hugo, but I think that he missed so many chances yesterday. He really did. So I feel as though I can't give him more than 6, really. And McCormack, I'm going to give a 7. I think he played very intelligently. He set up chances, which weren't taken by Rodiega. And, you know, again, he's someone that's settled in. He's an intelligent player. I'm going to give him a 7.
Okay, fantastic. Giannis?
Rodiega, I'm going to have to give a 5. He's out of form. He's out of sorts. He's out of touch. He needs a break. I'm not sure if he's going to give him a break. He's going to give him a break for the Forest game. If not for that, I hope he gives him a break for the Sunderland game. Just give him a week or two off. Give him a little bit of rest. I thought McCormack, I'm going to give a 7. Worked very, very hard. That cross for Woodrow to head it back across for Ruiz was sublime. He's a super player, McCormack. He's certainly worth his money. That just goes to show we've got a core of very good players that just need a little bit of tinkering and just need a little bit of addition together with the development of the youngsters. And McCormack has turned out to be a really, really big finding. He's certainly been worth the money. The only person that worries me is Rodallega right now. He seems to have gone a little bit off the boil, but nothing that a bit of rest would put right, I think.
Okay, fantastic. Mike?
McCormack is going to get a 7. I think, like everyone stated here, he plays with intelligence. He plays with creativity. He definitely is – he has an eye for the channels and for the goals, and where and his ability to just place that cross at the end there to Woodrow was inch perfect. I mean, it was beautiful. And to do that, be able to do that in the 93rd minute and still have that ability and that energy and that foresight was great. So he gets a 7. Rodallega for me gets a 4. This is probably the lowest I've ever rated him in a match, mainly because he missed 2 blatant sitters. And if your one job is to be the out and out striker for us, and we're going to give you that kind of responsibility, those are the kind of shots that you cannot miss. I mean, you just can't miss 2 of them. I'll give you 1, but you get a 2nd like that and you don't put it away, then you start losing some credibility. So Rodallega's really kind of, you know, the tank's on empty. So he's going to get a 4 from me, and he definitely is going to need a rest in the next 2 matches.
Okay, fantastic. Very good analysis of all these players, guys. I really appreciate your feedback and your ratings of all these players. Let me ask you, Giannis, should we rate the 2 substitutes? We usually talk about if they don't have enough time, do we rate them? But I think they both had impacts here. So what do you think? Should we rate these 2 substitutes?
Yeah, I'm going to rate the 2 substitutes. I would do it, but I wouldn't include them in the man of the match thingies because they weren't necessarily on that long. So for the time that they were on, I give Woodrow 8 and Ruiz 9.
Okay.
Because they both had impacts when they came on. Ruiz changed the game, and his goal obviously won us the game. But both players played really well when they came on. It was the injection that was needed at the right time. And that's got to be kudos to keep making the substitutions at the appropriate time.
Okay, fantastic. And I'm glad that you posed it that way. You know, again, for the amount of time that they were on, which was limited, they had an impact. That's why I wanted to mention them and leave it up to you guys if you wanted to rate them. It sounds like, Giannis, you did. And I think, Anina, you already mentioned you wanted to rate them, so go ahead.
I want to rate them, and I would give Woodrow a 7. I think he did well in the relatively short time he was on, obviously assisted the second goal. And I'll give Brian 9 as well, for all the reasons that I ranted about earlier. And I would say that I'm going to break the rules, and I'm going to say he's my man of the match, even though he wasn't on for very long. And if you won't let me have him, then I'll go with Kakaniglic as man of the match.
Oh, listen, you're entitled to rate or say whoever you want as man of the match. So that's up to you. I mean, you're entitled. Mike, over to you.
Yeah, if I'm going to rate them for the time that they had, they're both going to get an 8 from me. Yes, Bron Ruiz did score the winner, but he's not scoring that winner if Colley's not jumping into the stands to head that ball back to him. So I think the amount of effort and passion showed by Colley to really get that on target, and not even to get on target, not to attempt a shot, but to leave it for another teammate and to have that wherewithal, I think shows great, great class. So they both get an 8 from me.
Okay, fantastic. All right, guys, let's move on. And let's rate Kit. I really want your thoughts on Kit here because we just went through the team. So, Mike, I'm going to go right back to you. Rate the manager here.
Kit gets a 9. I think Kit did a fantastic job, and I think we're really seeing him develop as a manager rather than just a coach being the difference there, as he was coaching in the under-21s and 18s, and now he's full-on manager of the first team. It's really showing kind of a stone game almost for him, where you've seen his first few games in charge, and now he's really learning his trade. So I think his substitutions were right, and the fact that both of those substitutions came off to assist one another to score that goal was wonderful. I think that his ability to include Kakaniklis and Tunnicliffe and to recall them back immediately, I believe in one of his pressers, he said that when he first took over, he said, that was my goal. I need those 2 guys back. I think Kit deserves a 9 for his ability to come in the second half, change formation, make the correct substitutes, and then see to reap the rewards of that. So Kit gets a 9.
Fantastic. And I actually agree with you with a 9. I don't usually rate them, but I'm going to say, Mike, I agree with you. 9 for Kit. Nina, how about you on Kit?
I'm going to give Kit an 8. For, you know, I agree with what Mike has just been saying, But I would have started Cawley Woodrow, actually.
Okay.
And for that reason, I'm going to give him an 8 and not a 9.
Okay, fantastic. No, but listen, you're entitled to your opinion, Nina. You went back to that from the beginning of the show, so I'm glad that you stated that, and you did a very good job of stating why you gave him an 8, and Mike stated why he gave a 9. Giannis, you are the third person here, so what is your rating for Kit?
I'm going to give him 8.5.
How did I know you were going to do that?
Yeah, look, you know what? He got the lineup right. He got the subs right. My only question mark would have been Ruiz not starting, but, you know, he's got it right. He's 3 points. Let's see what happens on Thursday. But he's obviously learnt, so which means he's obviously developing. And if he's developing, it's all good.
Okay. All right. So I got 8.5 for you. Mike gives it a 9, and Nina gives it an 8. So all is good. All is good. And I think, you know, again, I think you guys are all fair in your assessment of Kit. Now, this one's going to be interesting. Giannis, I'm going to start with you. Let's rate Redding.
5. And I'm disappointed because they're a better side in the way they played. They've got more skill and more craft. They've got good players over there. And they didn't have to employ the tactics they did. I was very disappointed. They played well against us early in the season. And I just didn't expect to see the sort of nonsense I saw yesterday. They're better than that. And they should be higher up in the table than they are. They are a good side. So I'm going to give them a 5, and I say that with regret because I actually do rate Reading. But yesterday, unfortunately, was a poor advert for their level of soccer.
Okay. Good stuff. Nina, how about you on Reading?
I'm going to give them 5 as well. I think they are a better team than that. I think that some of the play was quite dirty, as we've established. I think that I agree. At least 2 of them should have been sent off. Definitely Simon Cox. And in fact, there's a big confusion because a lot of people thought he got a first yellow card at 64 minutes, and it is actually on the Fulham match centre stating that. So that's all a bit confusing. Anyway, so I give them a 5. And arguing with the referee and chatting with the referee, conversing with him. There was just too much kind of sort of strange negotiation going on,
yeah.
Which is obviously the ref's fault for allowing it to happen. But
absolutely.
I didn't like that. I didn't. Who do they think they are? I mean, you know, I mean, I know they're called their role, but they're taking it a little bit too seriously right
now. Yeah.
Good stuff there, Nina. Good stuff. All right, Mike, over to you.
Reading get a 3 for talking about the match itself. Just a singular snapshot, they get a 3. They were dirty. They didn't play particularly well. They were constantly taking the ball from us. If it was our foul, walking 15 feet and dropping it. They were always shouting, always bickering at the ref, constantly making cynical fouls. And they just played like a team of thugs. So they get a 3 for me. Overall, though, I really highly rate Reading. But if
right.
you're looking at this snapshot, they get a 3, and I think they were pretty disgraceful the whole match, especially when I've seen the replay several times. So, yeah, they get a 3 from me.
Okay, fantastic. All right, drum roll. Let's go to the ref. Giannis, I'll give you the first shot at the ref.
I'm going to give him a 0.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give him a Darren Bent. He's the worst ref we've had this year. He was awful. He was awful. I know there's a lot of ladies listening to this. So I'm not going to swear, but he was awful.
Okay.
Just. I'm glad there would have been an assessor in the stands. He got it all wrong, and it was poor and it was unacceptable. And against in the wrong circumstances, this could have turned into a right ruck. And that's unfortunate, but no, I'm going to give him a 0.
Okay. How about you, Nina?
I'm going to give him a 1.
Oh,
and
no way.
The one is for the shaving foam that he employed. I was so pleased to see it. It made me just feel very, very special, pumped up. I felt like a Premier League team. We were watching a Premier League team. It took me back to the summer and the World Cup and how I felt about seeing that foam sprayed then. So for bringing that, I give him a 1.
Okay. Interesting take there, Nina. Mike, over to you.
Yeah, if I can give him less than a zero, if that's even possible to go into the negatives, I would. I think he was the worst ref we've seen all season. If there's an assessor in the stands, this man needs to go to some sort of remedial training. He needs to not be in charge of a match for at least a few weeks. He goes ahead and watches real referees do their job. You constantly saw him trying to stamp out his power by saying, no, 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 don't do this. No, 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 don't do that. But he just let the players, especially Redding, push him around. He made the wrong calls. He was not consistent. And he's a ref that could potentially lose a match for a team with his decision-making or lack thereof. So he gets a zero.
Okay.
Yay!
And honestly, I agree with the zero. I thought he was horrible. And, you know, that's why I put more of the onus on him. You know, again, we talk about how Redding played, and I don't like how Redding played. And, Giannis, I agree with you pointing that out. But as I'm about to go to a game, very important game for me, watching the New England Patriots play, the head coach for the Patriots would always say, we're going to play how business is, you know, basically how the ref lets them play. That's how they're going to play, you know. And, again, so that's why I put more of this on the ref. The ref, I thought, was horrible, the worst that we've seen I can remember seeing. I think he was that bad. So I agree with you guys, giving him a zero. And Nina, if you want to give him a one, that's fine too. That's fine. I like that take. Okay, we got a little over 3 minutes, so let's do man of the match. Nina, did you already say it was Brian Ruiz for you?
Brian or Kaká.
Or Kaká. Okay. Yeah. All right, fantastic. Mike, to you?
Scotty Parker.
Okay. That's a very good man of the match. And Giannis, I believe you already gave your man of the match, but I'm trying to remember who it was.
Yeah, Scotty Parker for me, yeah, for sure.
Okay, Scotty Parker. So we've got two Scotty Parkers and one for Brian Ruiz. And David Holly, if you're listening, sorry. Just had to throw that in there, because I know he's listening. But I see why you guys picked Scotty Parker, and obviously Nina, I can see why you picked Brian Ruiz. Okay. Guys, we only have a little less than 3 minutes. Real quick, just give me your thoughts about the upcoming match against Nottingham Forest. Giannis, do you think this is an opportunity to get another 3 points?
I think it's going to be a draw. They're a good side. They're a better side. 5-3 away from home. That was the last game that Felix the Cat was in charge. It's going to be a good game. If we get a point, we'll do well. If we get 3 points, it'll be excellent.
Okay, fantastic. Nina, how about you on this match against Nottingham Forest? Are you going to be there?
Sadly not. I am. Sorry. Of course I am. Yeah, on Wednesday evening. Yeah. I think we could win this quite comfortably. If we play Ruiz and Corley Woodrow from the beginning, and give Hugo a rest, okay. I'm optimistic about this one. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic, Mike.
Nottingham Forest, their last six games combined are 2 draws, 3 losses, and 1 win. So I don't see why we can't take them apart at the Cottage and win. But in my heart, I think it's going to be a draw. They're fighting for Pierce. It's probably, if he loses this, he's gone. So I'm thinking, in my head, it's going to be a 1-1 draw. But in my heart, I'm thinking 2-0 to Fulham.
Okay, fantastic. Good stuff, guys. All right. And we will be doing a preview of the Nottingham Forest match on Tuesday. We'll be doing a post-match show on Thursday. We're going to have a ton of shows coming up this week. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We had a huge amount of listeners, over 1,000 listeners, for the preview show, which was on Friday, so that tells me how much everyone missed the show. So thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk, and I really appreciate it. Sorry we could not do the show last week. Giannis tried his best to get through, but there was obviously something wrong with Skype, and we could not get it to work. Him and Alex were trying to get in. But Giannis, I'm so glad you were able to join us today. Nina,
always
a pleasure. Mike, welcome whenever you can come on. Thanks, guys. Really, we only have about 30 seconds, but I just wanted to thank all three of you for a truly wonderful show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, yep.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for the show. For Giannis, Nina, and Mike, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time.
Bye.
Cheers, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Come on, boys and girls.